we have a lot of time in between, so we're easily going to get to our back to our Brady and Angel summer movie review extravaganza of fun, where we review movies both new and old. I don't know the names. I still don't have it down. But we do know, I believe, we're going to have a guest reviewer on Friday, and his name is Jerry Schimmel. Jerry, my friend, are you ready for some Caddyshack action coming up this Friday?
Absolutely, yeah. I got to give you a little preface here. I'm not a big movie guy, but if it's something I've seen, obviously I'll join in the party.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. So, Jerry, I think I briefed you a little bit, too. The way we rate these is it's a 10-man basketball roster. Kind of think of it that way. You're starting it, you're benching it, or you're cutting it. That's what to think there. So just be thinking about that. I know that'll be number one priority for you throughout the course of the week.
It will be. The next 4 days, that's all I'm going to concentrate on. Yep. I'm just going to stay at home and just think about that.
Just
Brady.
Watch Caddyshack over and over and over again. Jerry, I was thinking about you, as I tend to do, thinking about you last night and your history with the Nuggets and that meeting you took me on a few years ago with legendary coach George Karl. It was just so awesome. You're the voice of the Rockies. You're the voice of the Bears. But you were the voice of the Nuggets for 18 seasons. And I certainly listened to you. My family knew about you well before we ever met. So I was just thinking about a lot of these people that were there throughout these seasons, following this team, covering this team. And you were, of course, the first one that came to mind. So I wanted to bring you on and talk about this Nuggets team, this Nuggets franchise.
Well, I think I'm like everybody else, Brady, just couldn't be more elated. I mean, it's a long time, obviously. You go back to the 70s with this team, and they've never been to the NBA Finals, and they finally get there. And really, you think about it, they really haven't come all that close up until the last couple of years. The 18 years I was doing them, they made the NBA Finals one season. My last season, they made the NBA Finals, got blown out by the Lakers, but before that, really didn't get a sniff, so... Long time coming, and I wish I was doing the games because that'd be so much fun. And I dreamed about the Nuggets winning a championship when I was doing their games. But I always think about, you know what, be happy for what you got, not what you don't have. And I'm happy doing the Rockies, but thrilled for the Nuggets as well.
Well, and I knew that would be the case, too. And again, following a professional sports team, it doesn't matter who it is, it's an amazing, amazing thing that you're doing on a daily basis. But then you just take that time to go back and look at the history. You'll do the same thing someday, Jerry, when the Rockies are there. When the Rockies are there back again in the World Series, you're going to look back. Those are all that's the special part of sports. Jerry, don't you look at the Nuggets and you can kind of section it off right now where you go, okay, there's the Alex English days, Doug Moe and David Thompson, Dan Issel. Then Dikembe, it was great. That was a memorable time, no doubt about it. But when I section it off, I look at the English Western Conference Finals trip, the Melo Western Conference Finals trip, and then, of course, what we've been seeing with Joker and company. Is that fair? You kind of section it off that way with those three parts?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's really fair. Yeah, and, you know, between a couple of those, it was a long time. It was a long stretch, and I was there for a lot of that. And, no, I think that's probably the way you probably dice it up a little bit. So, obviously, this is the best team of that whole group, making the NBA Finals like this team has. And I was looking, Brady, this blew me away just, 2 weeks ago? I think it's 2 weeks ago today. I was just looking at Las Vegas odds, and they had 2 weeks ago the Nuggets favored to win the NBA championship. Mm. And I'm like, why, you got to be kidding me. The Nuggets are favored to win the NBA championship. You know, it's another thing to get there and then to win it, but to be in that conversation like this is the best team in the NBA just kind of blew me away. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, it's fair to break those four different groups, and obviously this is the best group of the bunch. They have the best player that's ever played in a Nugget uniform. That's Jokic. So I think you put it all together, and you break it up into four, and this would be the best of the four.
Jerry, one of the great things about your job and what you do is you paint a picture for us listening, and you paint the day to day, the play by play. But then, bam, these moments that happen that we're not expecting, you're calling that, you're creating that moment, and it's poetic. And I'm looking at this situation. The Lakers were always the team, as you said. The Nuggets weren't close to the finals very often, but when they were, it was the Lakers that knocked them out to sweep them, to knock LeBron James out, to maybe force his hand at retirement. I don't know. it just goes to show you, man, sports is beautiful. It's poetic. There's so much about this that's just so historic.
Isn't it, though? I agree with you. There's so many factors to it, so many aspects of it. You know, you went on the road. I mean, that's the one that blew me away. You went on the road at the Lakers with LeBron, like you talked about, and you sweep. And it's a team that had been, you know, knocking you out for all these years and beating you up home and road. And you throw those things together, and it's just such an amazing feat. And I think that's the special thing about this team. I don't think Jokic and Murray think back about, okay, well, the Lakers used to beat up on the Nuggets back in the day before I was born or before I became. I don't think they think about that. They think about, you know what, this is our opponent. Let's go get them. We're a very talented team. We're a very confident team, and let's go out and win. And that's what I love about this team. They're so resilient. They're not cocky. You know, I'm not around them. Maybe they are, but they don't seem to be that way. They have one focus, and that is to win basketball games. And they're obviously very talented, but their focus is the right focus, and that's another factor about it that I just love. I love the fact they beat the Lakers on the road, swept them and all that, but the fact that they just go out and play is what I really love.
Now, obviously, you have a great relationship with Coach George Karl. You brought him up here to speak to the UNC Bears basketball team a couple of years ago. You invited me to lunch. That was one of the greatest moments for me, Jerry. Obviously, sitting with you anytime is great, but then to bring George Karl in there, it was fantastic. So I've been following him on Twitter, seeing all this. He's really kind of banging this drum for Carmelo Anthony. Not necessarily that he was the greatest of all time for the Nuggets, but that perhaps Melo should show up at a Nuggets game in this finals and make his presence known, where hopefully a few Nuggets will honor him. What did you think of all that?
I loved it. I loved that gesture, and that wasn't surprising for George Karl. That's the kind of guy he is. And think about his situation too, Brady. Here he is at these games, these playoff games, pulling for a team that fired him, that basically let him go. But you know, he was in the prime of his career. He had great teams, and they let him go, and it just didn't work. Yet he doesn't have that attitude, like, you know, the heck with those guys, I'm going to move on. It's, I love this city. I'm still living here. I love this team. I love these players. I love the players that played for me. Let's all rally around the 2023 Nuggets and help carry them to the championship. So I love it. I love the fact that George reached out via social media and said what he did.
I do too, and I'm not one of those Melo haters. I'm really not. I mean, I don't think there's any debate as far as the great number 15, who that is, but I actually do kind of think we should get into this mode of retiring banners, not necessarily numbers. So we hang Melo's jersey up there just to say he's one of our greats. And George Karl's right there with him. If Malone or Doug Moe's the record holder for records or whatever, I still would love to see a guy like George Karl remembered. I think you should really own that and remember some of your great players and your great coaches.
Yep, I'm with you. Totally with you on that. You know, you got Doug Moe up there, and I think the next coach should be George Karl, and then Michael Malone's going to be up there someday. So, yes, I agree with you. They just seem, you know, George bounced around a while. I think he got 7 different teams, but he's known as the coach of the Nuggets. Even though he had those great Seattle teams, he had some really good teams in Milwaukee, he's known in his career as a coach that had success with the Nuggets. And so, yeah, I think he should be honored that way. He and I have talked about probably Brady over way too many beers. We talked about Carmelo Anthony way too many times over way too many beers. And he liked Melo. I mean, he respected his game. He had trouble getting through to him. But he said this to me late, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. He said late in the stretch where Melo was playing for him, he finally understood that he could win a game with defense as easy as he could win a game with his offense. And George says once that clicked, he was a different player. We won more when he had that attitude. So I think he clashed with Melo. Sure, he did. I think every coach that Melo ever played for clashed with Melo. But I think George respected him. And at the end, probably before the whole trade to New York, I think they got along just fine.
Well, I saw Melo retweeted him today and said, thanks, coach. So it seems like, yeah, let's all sing Kumbaya. It's finals time now. It's history time. And I noted that in his book, Furious George. I love that. You know, he talked about the struggles of coaching a Carmelo Anthony, an Allen Iverson. I mean, Kenyon Martin, he had some interesting names on that list, Jerry, that you two were telling me about. I think of Malone, and again, that's Malone's the kind of coach and Joker's the kind of guy. The team kind of rallies around that. I get that. But compared to what George Karl had to deal with, my goodness, talk about personalities in the league, man.
Yeah, I think the greatest coaching job he ever did, and I've told this to him a dozen times, is when he on the same team, Carmelo Anthony, Kenyon Martin, Allen Iverson, and J.R. Smith. He had four knuckleheads on his team at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all great players, but they were all together in one team. It was just too much. It was way too much, and it wasn't a coaching job. It was a babysitting job. It was you stay over here, you stay in your corner, and let's just try to get along and see if we can win a few games in the process. But he was more of a psychologist and a babysitter than he was a coach at that time. So I think that's the greatest coaching job he did, just to keep those four players from killing each other, number one, and being on the same court together and win some games.
Yeah, and that's why when I hear people saying, you know, and again, I'm complimenting Malone. I think he's an amazing coach, and he's really earning more and more respect as he goes. But when it's like, hey, Malone's helping create that culture, it's not that George Karl didn't want to try to create that culture, too. I would say most head coaches in the NBA or any sport would tell you, we want a team-first superstar. We want that kind of guy to build around. So it is the star, and then it's the coach, perhaps. And unfortunately for George Karl, it was Carmelo Anthony, and the team kind of morphs into his attitude, his personality. With what Malone has, he has the complete opposite of that with Nikola Jokic. So again, this is why George Karl does deserve so much of that respect.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I think that's a good point too. They're different coaches, but they're the same coach at the same time. And you know what they're all about is creating that atmosphere where you can win as many games as you can. And you do it differently. And Bud Black and I talked about this off the air a couple different times over the last several years. And you know, the challenges of a manager in baseball is completely different than it is with a coach in the NBA. And George said this many times, his biggest challenge is trying to get five guys to play hard every night. And that was the biggest challenge. It wasn't X's and O's. It wasn't substitution patterns and minutes and drafting. It was, I got to get five guys to play hard every night, and that's a real challenge. But Black doesn't have that. These guys go out and play hard every night. They just have to figure out how to get guys out and how to put the ball in play if you're a hitter. So the challenges are completely different, but at the same time, they're the same. You're doing what you possibly can do to help your team win more games.
Jerry Schimmel joining us, the voice of the Rockies. The Rockies are back in action tonight against Miami. First pitch at 6:40. Also, Jerry's the voice of the UNC Bears. He was the voice of the Nuggets for a very long time. Jerry, some of those stories I go back to, you know, because all those stories lead you to here. That's ultimately what happens. Melo's trade still benefited this current Nuggets with the Jamal Murray thing came out of that as far as a draft pick. So you do think about your history and all that. In George Karl's book, he mentions the personalities. And I wanted to ask you how many run-ins you had with some of the stuff George mentioned. George mentioned a guy like Allen Iverson would show up to practice and still reek of alcohol, and you wanted to get mad at the guy, but he would work hard. You know, he'd get into the games, and it was as if nothing happened. I have a beer, and I'm out for a week, and I'm thinking of a guy like Iverson can go out all night and do this stuff. Did you ever have any unique stories or run-ins with some of these guys, some of those personalities?
Yeah, I did. I did. There's a couple different ones, and I know it's open subject right now, so I don't think I'm divulging any secrets. But I remember getting on a plane one time. I forget where we were going to on an off day. We were flying from Denver, and AI got on the plane, and I could tell he was hammered. And I said, because I saw him get out of a limo, and then get on the plane. I said, "What'd you have in your limo?" He said, "I had 5 shots of Patron in 40 minutes."
Oh my gosh!
And then he was drinking some more on the plane, Brady. I mean, it was he obviously had a very serious problem.
Sure.
There's another story that's really funny for me, and later on, I when Melo was away from the Nuggets, I asked him. He didn't remember this, but it's a hilarious story, and I'm as guilty as he is. But I had early days with the Nuggets. I had my two younger brothers were living in Chicago. They were living together in an apartment. Crazy single guys. I mean, they had a lot of fun, but they were, we had a night off in Chicago. I went out with them, and I pulled into the team hotel at 4:30 in the morning. The bars stay open late in Chicago. I get in the elevator, and Melo walks in, and he can't even walk. I mean, he is staggering around. We had to figure out, we had to go to the front desk and figure out what room he was in. He couldn't remember his room. And I thought, oh boy, we're playing the Bulls the next day. He's going to be terrible. You know what he did? Had 40 points and 12 rebounds. We won by 20 points
wow.
over a good Bulls.
That is just wild to me, man. And your run-ins with these guys, and you see them. And that's what, again, these athletes, they're not quite human because they can do that kind of stuff and still flip a switch the very next day.
Yeah, and I think especially in basketball, you know, in baseball, you never know. A guy, you know, Mike Trout can go 0 for 5 real easy. But in basketball, it's different. There's so much confidence. There's so much talent that Melo knew, even hung over and got to sleep in the next day, that he was going to, you know, score 30 or 40 points, and he sure did.
Jerry, answer this one for me. J.R. Smith comes out on Twitter last week and says that George Karl didn't have any out-of-bounds plays. You were covering the team during that Lakers Western Conference Finals when, yeah, Anthony Carter, Kenyon Martin, we struggled to get the ball in bounds. George Karl writes back, yeah, J.R., you were probably high the whole time. Thoughts? I mean, you had to know if they were working on out-of-bounds plays at some point.
You know what's interesting about that is that I was still doing the games, but I always observed George being able to score on an inbound play when he like set play out of the timeout. And I asked one of the numbers guys that were in the front office. I said, "Hey, give me a percentage of the baskets we make coming out of a timeout when we really need a basket on inbound." It was 62%.
Wow.
George was great at inbounds plays. It wasn't that he didn't have any. He was awesome at it. He was one of his strengths. So when I hear J.R. Smith saying that, I don't think that J.R. has the right coach or something, because George was thriving in those situations.
Well, it's like, I mean, and I got a lot of respect for what J.R. has gone and done with his life, even after his basketball career. But yeah, I think if you were to say, yeah, I wonder how much JR was really paying attention to the plays at that point, you'd have a pretty good case to wonder just how much he knew about the plays.
Yeah, exactly. I remember one time when I used to sit courtside before they moved us up at Pepsi Center, but I might have been on the road at courtside. I remember George, I'm listening to a huddle, George is going through this play, and we're on defense, and he diagrams, and they do this, they do this, and they break huddle, and J.R. Smith walks in the court, and he goes, "Okay, no double teams, no double teams." I'm like, "J.R., he just said to double team LeBron. He just said it to you. And you tell the rest of the guys, the other four guys, no double teams? What are you doing?"
Oh, my gosh. It's phenomenal to me, you know? And again, you feel for it. Everything you're saying, you can read in those pages from George, and I know you two were close. There's a story. I think we could tell this one, Jerry, that George brought up at the GOAT when we were meeting, and he mentioned, you know, when they came and told him, "Hey, we just traded for Allen Iverson," and George is like, "What the heck? Okay, what am I supposed to do with that?" And basically, whoever it was, said, "Coach him up, George. Coach him up," and shut the door. And then that was that.
Yep. Exactly. That's exactly what happened too. And I came in to do the coach's show right after that, maybe a half hour later, and George was quiet. I was like, "What happened? Tell me what." I think it was Mark Workington, was assistant general manager, might have been the GM at that point. And George was like, "We got, there's too much here. This is not going to fit." He goes, "Coach him up. Just coach him up, George. That's your job. That's what we're paying you $3 million to do. Coach him up."
Gee, yeah. It's phenomenal. And again, George went through all that stuff and still found ways to win a lot of basketball games. Sixth winningest coach of all time and get in the playoffs. Jerry, who was your favorite Nugget from that stretch when you called games? What was it, from like 92 to 2011 or something like that?
Who was your favorite
Nugget?
2010, yep. LaPhonso Ellis. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do.
Days when I was doing their games. And we still are good friends, and we connect a lot. And we don't talk a lot, but we'll text back and forth. I don't know, once a month, twice a month or so. But he's just a wonderful guy. I mean, he was a tremendous basketball player until he hurt his knee. I think he would have been one of the greatest players ever to play. He was that talented. 6'8", could fly, he could dunk, he could shoot. He played defense, and just one of the nicest people you'll ever run into, Brady. I mean, if he was on this conversation, he'd be laughing with us right along and telling stories himself. So, yeah, Alphonso Ellis, there's a lot of them, but Fonz is probably at the top of my list.
I love those were my, you know, the 90s, going to those games. They weren't winning many games, but I loved Alphonso. I loved Antonio McDice. That was a guy. So maybe that would be your answer then. If you could get in a time machine, go back, grab one of those guys, and put them on this team to say, okay, enjoy this. Now you're a part of history. I'm guessing it would be Alphonso Ellis for you.
Yeah, I think it would be that him and or Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Mm, sure.
Who ended his career early. And I don't know if you saw the documentary about him with Air or Stand, I guess it's called, that I thought was really good and told the story. But, my gosh, he was so talented. I mean, this guy is 6 foot tall, could do what he did. I was just watching last night. Someone sent me this clip of a TV game I did at Utah where he scored 51 points. And they put all his points together in a four-minute montage. And I was doing the game, so I had to call. And I remember that game. And he was just – and John Stockton was guarding him. And it, toward the end of the game, he couldn't miss, and Stockton just gave him a forearm shiver, just knocked him to the floor. Like, yeah, I can't guard you, but I'm going to knock you down.
Wow.
So I think it would be that guy because I think he got a little bit of a raw deal. I mean, he didn't play his cards the right way and that whole thing. But I think if there's another guy back to come back in his prime and play on this Nuggets team, for me, it would be him.
Well, Jerry, you have so many amazing stories. There's a reason, well, this year especially, you win a CBA, Colorado Broadcasters Award Association, for your work with the Bears. You also won it for your work with the Rockies. We're honored to know you, my friend. I could sit and listen to your stories all day long. Those were great times, even when they were bad times with the Nuggets. Those were still great times in my life. And we would fire up Jerry Schimmel on the call all the time on the way to games, home from games. So just appreciate everything you're about, my friend.
I appreciate that, Brady. You know what we got to do? We got to bring George back up to Greeley sometime.
I'd love that.
I think he would love that. You know, this is how hard it was to get him. I texted him and said, hey, George, you want to go up and talk to the UNC basketball team? 30 seconds later, yes, when are we doing it? Let's go.
Jerry,
he loves that stuff.
We could do this. I know you're a little busy with the Rockies, but when the season's out, maybe we can have you two sit in our brand new studios, by the way, and we could just talk Nuggets. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be great. And George would love it, too, I guarantee you.
And Jerry, while you're at it, you shoot Alphonso a text, too, and just see if all those guys would come over. Come on, Jerry, help us out here. Angel requested that.
Say it again?
Alphonso Ellis. Let's get him in the mix.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's
get Fonz in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm throwing out the list here, Jerry. We'll get there.
Yeah, no. If you get Fonz talking, you'll never get a word in edgewise.
That's probably okay.
He can talk all day.
Well, that would be fantastic. You've got a great connection to people, and that's all your hard work. You were in a bike ride before. I texted you this morning. You were out riding for like 8 hours probably.
I had to fight the smoke. I don't know if you guys have enough smoke up there.
We did.
Here, but it choked me a little bit, but I got a couple hours in.
Well, I appreciate you, my friend. Let's catch up with you soon. We got Rockies in action tonight. And, hey, pretty soon, Jerry, I mean, the Rockies, they're going to be carrying this thing because I don't want to talk about training camp for the Broncos. I don't really want to get into that very long. So I need you to do something here. I want this Rockies team to be in a great spot by the time the Nuggets win a title.
Turn this thing around, huh? All right. It's on my shoulders, Brady. I accept the responsibility.
Okay, turn the Rockies around. That's on the list. Get George Karl Alphonso Ellis and watch Caddyshack and be thinking about it. You got a to-do list, my friend.
Okay, all right. I got a lot to do between now and Friday. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Jerry. We'll talk to you then, my friend.
All right, Brady. See you later.
Jerry Schimmel. Dude, I could listen to those stories forever. The meeting with George, we'd have to do a podcast of that, though, because there's no way you're going to be able to dump the amount of curse words that would come out of George Karl's mouth.
That would be super fun, though.
Yes, it would be absolutely amazing. I have George's number. I do. I have texted him a couple of times. He responded once.
You text him last night?
I did not.
George.
I text him. When did I text him? It was months ago, and it was just something, hey, great catching up with you that time. Want to meet up again. Oh, yeah, let's make it happen. That was an honor.
You just jabbed at him and said, yeah, couldn't do that, could you?
Well, maybe I could, and that should, and that's what will get him to pop back to me. That's what I need to do. Just be disrespectful. I could do something like
just
that.
Just joke with him.
Yeah.
Michael Malone could do it.
Oh, Michael Malone figured it out. You know,
he got an inbound pass.
Michael Malone would have probably turned Carmelo Anthony into the American version of Nikola Jokic, you know, because Malone's that good. That's what would have happened. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break here. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.